such a crazy time in the world, but you know, the more the believer has to be, you know, look forward to and have his confidence in it. Amen. So let's open. We're going to read in Isaiah first, and then we'll go to Matthew. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. This talking about the Gentile day, obviously, because it's speaking from the rising of the sun and the going down of the sun sets in the west, right? So, and so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Amen. So not just us, but our children and our grandchildren. Amen. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. A little parable that Jesus tells that we're very familiar with. We'll speak on the topic tonight, the Lord shall raise up a standard. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word. Lord, we just appreciate all that you've done and your faithfulness, Lord, just to be in the house of God and to be with your people. We love you, Lord, and we just make you the guest of honor tonight. We ask you, Lord, to come and speak to our hearts and just to anoint the word as it goes forth. We know it is anointed, but we pray, God, that you just manifest it tonight as it goes into the hearts of your people. Lord, that you would bring clarity to them and speak to them and just give them something tonight, Lord, to help them in their walk, not just for tonight, but just from now on. We ask these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we may be seated. The Lord shall raise up a standard. How many knows the Lord is faithful?
Yes.
He's faithful to his word, faithful to his promises.
That's right.
And so how many times when the enemy comes in like a flood will the Lord raise a standard?
That's right.
Every time.
Amen.
Amen. But you just have to stay with the Lord, right? Just hang in there with him, hang in that word, and he will perfect you in every trial you go through. That's a big mouthful, but it's the truth because it's his word, his promise. Every trial you go through, if you'll just hang with him till that trial, he will perfect you in that trial. Amen? He will get from you the character building that he wanted in you if you'll just stay with him. Amen? And so, I keep feeling led to say this just almost in every service lately. The Lord just keeps bringing this up to me to stress this about the pardon. The pardon is only a pardon if it's received as one. You know, I believe that all these things that Brother Branham shared with us, they all have their purpose and there's a reason. They all are part of this great revelation. And God wants us to understand what's available to us in this hour. And so when Brother Branham tells us that story, he's trying to help you to understand that, you know, first of all, just from your sins, just by itself, You've got to accept God's pardon. You've got to forgive yourself for the sins and things that you've done. It's because he has, but you have to accept what he has provided for you. And so, but also realizing that God has done a great thing in our day. He's brought a wonderful vindication of the entire message, the entire plan of redemption, all through history, is all culminated, that what is all for in our day. It's come and it's arrived. And so he wants us to know what that is that he's provided. And then once we see what it is he's provided, then we have to receive that, accept it for what it is. I mean, if he came and said, and you were down in a pit, if he said you're free from that, then you've got to accept that and come out of the pit, right? And take what he's given you. And so that's you know, the emphasis that I feel like the Lord is telling us, that these things that he has brought to us, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the clarity of what this Bible has said through the ages, and what all these things mean, I believe God expects for us to receive those things fully for what they are. That's why he sent them. He didn't make a mistake when he sent those things. And so, you know, Brother Rand preached a sermon called a pardon, right?
Yeah.
Maybe more than once, I don't remember, but you know, as this message was unfolding and coming closer to the end of his ministry where God was going to take him, and by the way, if God had not taken him, well, we wouldn't be where we are now in Revelation. We'd still be. And so it was necessary that God would do what he did with that prophet and the way he did with that prophet, even the his leaving the world. And so, but as this was all unfolding, he was preaching, and he says, he came to the place where you know that God had him bring an indictment to this generation.
Yeah.
You know, and so, because that ministry brought Jesus Christ up out of history and made him alive in this day,
right,
and connected that power of the supernatural to the Word. That is the person of the Word, and that you can't reject the Word and have all these other things. And so, but the generation rejected that manifestation of Christ. Well, they loved the healings and the miracles and all that, but they didn't accept the Word part,
yeah,
right? The part that tells you how you have to live and those sorts of things. The part that when you eat it becomes better in your belly. They didn't want that, so they rejected the Word, but still think they have Christ, and they don't. And so because of that, he preached that sermon. I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that means. Moses was not allowed to go over into the promised land because he smote the rock the second time, right? Instead of speaking to it. Which is a type telling us that when he smote the rock the first time, that was Christ being smitten on Calvary, that living waters could come out to us. And then after that, all you have to do is speak to him. And Moses turned around and smote him again, and that's why he couldn't cross over into the promised land. But still yet, that was a type showing us that Christ was going to be smitten again, and the results of why. When they do that, they're not going to go over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he preached that. I indict this generation, but at the same time, like when he was preaching Shalom, when he was preaching darkness, gross darkness upon the people, but on the bride, it's Shalom,
yeah,
right? And so while he's preaching this and saying, I indict this generation, but he also said pardoned. Because anyone who will accept this word receives full pardon for this day. Mm-hmm. And brother, sister, a full pardon in this day is a body change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just the first part of adoption, right? But the rest of adoption is that we get to have a body change. So he preached those things, and these things aren't just sermons that, you know, these are announcements, they're declarations, because this is what God was doing. It wasn't just a man saying, I indict this generation or pardon. This was what's going on. God had brought a message to this earth, and that's exactly what was happening. God was bringing the ultimate of pardons, right?
Yeah.
And they rejected it. And so he's speaking to both peoples. And so we're blessed because we get to see these things. We get to see what all this was that was going on through the Bible and being unfolded in our day. We get to see those things because Christ has come down to reveal himself, and he's revealing himself in these things, in these revelations. These are part of him, and we must accept those things. And what he says and what he reveals and what he says about us and what he's doing for us, we must accept those things, because that's like I said the other day, you know, you have to accept that proposal of him to say, will you marry me? Yeah. Absolutely, you have to. And so, the word revelation, the book of Revelation, that word revelation means apocalypse. And in the world, everybody's like, oh, apocalypse, that's a terrible word. But it just simply means the unveiling, mm-hmm. right? And so the world trembles at the book of Revelation. They tremble at the symbology and all the things. It looks, you know, but to the bride, we love it, right? And the scriptures talk about those who love his appearing, right? And to those that look for him, shall he appear the second time. What if they're not looking for him? He won't appear to them. But to those that look for him, shall he appear the second time, because he came once. He coming the second time to get his bride, right? And the next time he comes with her, right? So to those that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin and salvation. Without sin, not going to be a sin sacrifice anymore, because that's done, right? Mm-hmm. Amen? And so that's what's going on. We love his appearing. We love to see him in the unfolding of his word. And so we in the scripture we was reading there, talk about when a man will listen to the word and will take heed to those things and take them into his life. Jesus said he likened that to a man who had built his house upon a rock. And said when, because we know that winds come, rains come, storms of life come, and it matters what foundation you have. It matters what you're built on. Because if you're not built on the right thing, these storms of life come and they will carry you away. Your life will be destroyed. And so Jesus said, if you will invest in this word, if you will build your life upon the word of God, we know revelation is rock, a rock of revelation, because it's something you can build upon. It's something solid that you can rest upon. So that if you build your life upon the word of God, then it's like a man who's building his house on a solid foundation, and the storms of life will not take it away. And however, if a person doesn't do that, then those storms will carry away. And so that's one reason why what Brother Ray talked about, and he's going through the scriptures there, where the scripture said, talking about the beast coming out, and it's speaking of the Catholic Church, out of the bottomless pit. So it means it has no foundation. Because he said, all the things they teach, they have no foundation in the Bible for what they teach. You have purgatory. You ever seen purgatory in the Bible? I mean, he's read the whole Bible, right? Never seen purgatory, any concept of it in there. But they preach it, and they teach it, and they've got people believing, right? So there's no foundation. So people who live and believe that are not built on a solid rock, and storms that come through them, and the ultimate storm of life is at the end of your days, will you be received into everlasting habitation of the Lord? So that's just one example. A bottomless pit telling us these things are not scriptural truths that they believe. So that's just an example of building upon something that's not a solid rock. And so we also read here in the scriptures where when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against them. And you know, a flood in the Bible, water represents people, right? And the book of Revelation says, multitude of people. And so, like the oceans and seas, the scripture talking about being tossed about by every wind of doctrine, waves foaming, the shame and so forth. And so people are just, you know, they're water. And so... when the enemy comes in like a flood, because we know that Satan works through humanity. Right. He's pretty much helpless if he doesn't have something to work through. Yeah. So he works through humanity. And so when Satan gets something into humanity and a flood of humanity comes with whatever it is that he's got over on them, and they're believing false teaching and stuff, and they come by the multitudes, and it seems like you're just overwhelmed. And people would be overwhelmed if they're not built upon rock. So See, so these false doctrines and these false things that Satan injected into humanity, and humanity just by the millions coming with false things and false worship and false teachings and all this stuff, and it just absolutely sweep every person on the planet away unless they're built upon something solid that will hold them in those times when those things come. So we understand that's the way it works, and Satan works in those things. So he says, when these things happen, the Lord would raise up a standard. And so I didn't, for a long time in my early Christian walk, and it never dawned on me what that really is talking about there, but we've talked about it many times in the past that in the Bible, a standard was a pole they lift up with a sign on it, with a symbol on it. And so when you think about it, a standard is something for people to look to, something for people to see, because they used it in the Old Testament. They used that those banners. They lifted them up. Each there were four different ones, and they would use that in marching and going out into battle and for pitching their tent around pitching their tents and so forth around the tabernacle. All of that was used, and what it was used for was so that people would not be divided, mm-hmm. So that all the people that should be under the banner were the lion or the ox or the man or the eagle, whichever one they belonged to, they'd know exactly where to go to be with those of like precious faith, those that had the same calling and same purpose as they did. They would know how to rally to that, and it would gather everybody under the correct location at the correct time for the correct purpose, and there would be no confusion. So that's what the whole purpose was. They would carry those like that so that everybody knew their marching order, and they knew where to be, and they knew when it come time to pitch around the tabernacle, they knew exactly where their spot would be. They would lift up. And so when you look at this, when the enemy comes in like a flood and it's chaos, and you've seen videos of flood. Like when that tsunami came through Japan, the filth and the it just, you know, so it's chaos, right? But the Spirit of the Lord, as he says, he will raise up a standard, he will raise up something that in a time of chaos, people could look to, and it would make, everybody would be brought to the same thought, same mind. And remember on day of Pentecost, when they were all in one mind and one accord, right? That when you get like that, the Holy Spirit can move. It can work. But when there's division and there's you know, bickers and different differences, see, that hinders the Holy Spirit. But when everybody can look to the same thing and let that same thing be their ultimate and their guide, and they conduct their lives around that, what that symbol is that's lifted up in front of them, then you start bringing unity, and God begins to work and can work in those things. So that whole concept there is that the way the Lord will raise up this, the way he will fix the chaos is he'll raise up something that people can look to, and it'll line them all up together in the same mindset and so forth, like on the day of Pentecost. We just mentioned that. And so it's something that people can look to, gets them on the same page, and it's something that will remove all doubts, remove all confusion, and it removes division, gets everybody all on the same page. So, you know, in the scriptures, if you'll pull it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, remember Brother Graham said, I preach the same thing Paul did, right? But look what Paul said. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, right? And so even, you know, Paul's telling them, why? Because when you get in one mind and you're in the same thought process and so forth, then the Holy Spirit can work in that. But he doesn't when there's divisions. So I'll read a quote to you where Brother Branham, in Question and Answers in 1961, he says the same thing. All these ministers get together and they have questions. And Brother Branham is going to answer these questions. And so this is the prayer Brother Branham prays just before he starts to answer these questions that these ministers and deacons, pastors and different ones have submitted. And he says, Our Heavenly Father, we have assembled here as a group of men, Christian men who love you, who believe you, and who has dedicated our lives and service and to your service. There's ministers here, young men, middle-aged men. They got churches. They're responsible before God. There's deacons here that's responsible for their offices in the different churches. There's trustees, their responsibilities, pastors, evangelists, whatever, Lord. We're responsible to you. And that's why we've come together, that we might all speak the same thing. As we were said, that we must do in the scriptures. We must speak alike. And Father, we thank you, think that in this kind of group, we might find maybe some of our brethren or some of us that would have little differences upon things, and some were just asking because they really wanted to find out what truth is about. And we know that we're insufficient, each of us. If I should ask any of these brothers to come here to these questions, perhaps they'd be just as sufficient or more than I would to be able to answer them. But together, we're depending on your revelation, that you might reveal to us the word by your Spirit, and that we might have an answer for every question, that our hearts might be filled with the answers, and we could go away feeling that we were better equipped for service, for your service, and to serve in our offices than we are now. That's our purpose of being here, Father. Grant it now. And answer our questions, Father. As we wait upon you, let there be no puzzling in our in any of our minds, but may we stay with the question until it's fully answered and we're satisfied by the Spirit, unanimously agreeing because of his presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. So you see what Brother Branham was saying there. It's imperative that we all come together and speak the same thing. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so that we can all carry out our offices and carry out what our responsibilities and our part as being the body of Christ, so we can do a better job at that if we all come and we speak the same thing. Well, how are you going to speak the same thing? Everybody's going to look at the same thing and have the same banner lifted up in front of them that they can all rally to. And that's what has to happen. If we have a bunch of us that don't do that, if we don't speak those, let that banner be the thing that's our ultimate, then guess what happens? We all begin to speak different things. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that. It's still among people, because we're not all perfect yet. We're not all fully mature yet. And so you still, people, some will have their ideas about this and about that. Right. But you see, God wants to bring us into unity. And that is that we all be rallying around something. You know, a trumpet does the same thing. Mm-hmm. A trumpet sound was to get people together so that everybody knows, right? To get everybody together that for whatever it is, whether it's to march or go to battle or to come together in assembly or whatever, because a trumpet was loud and a trumpet was something that could get everybody's attention, right? And so, same things, something that everybody would know, oh, it's time to go and gather at the tabernacle for whatever reason, or it's time to grab your weapon and go get information because we're going to battle. So the scripture says that if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how should we prepare for war? If we don't understand the trumpet, what it means, and we hear just a bunch of noise, which is just confusion, right? Yeah. Now, God's not the author of confusion. He is not. And so when he has a trumpet sound, he's not doing that to bring confusion. He's doing that to bring clarity. He's doing that to bring unity. When they would lift up that symbol, that was to bring unity, right? And so people who were together underneath the ox couldn't go over underneath the lion. Everybody had to go to their place. Yeah. And so I said all that to say this, you know, because he said, my sheep know my voice.
Amen.
So we come into this world with a deposit of God already in us that recognizes that trumpet sound and what it means. Mm-hmm. And so because we hear that, then we rally to the trumpet sound. Or because we understand what has been lifted up in our day, a great ensign has been lifted up. I always thought it was neat whenever that those seven angels came and they appeared over Flagstaff, over a pole for us to look at. Think about it. A great ensign, as the scripture said, that would be lifted up, that we could go and we could look to. And so, he said, my sheep know my voice, and they're not going to follow another, right? And so, you know, there's that concept that kind of comes to mind, you know, but that the bride of Christ, that all these other doctrines that tried to penetrate her womb was never successful. But the Word of God has. And then once that word penetrates there and that conception takes place, that womb is closed to any other seed. No other seed can get in there. Right? So you don't have to worry about being deceived. If you receive the word for this day, then you don't have to worry about anything else the devil come along with, anything else to trick you, because it's not going to work. Because God's sheep know his voice. They're pre-programmed to understand that voice of that trumpet. They already know what that symbol is that they're going to see. Even though you don't understand it up here, but you have something down inside that connects to what God is doing in this day. And that's the thing we rally to. That's all I know to point to. You know, it is this Bible made clear and brought in our day. Right? So when I rally to that, I'm rallying to this word. Not rallying to something else. But I know nothing else to rally to than this manifestation that God has done in our day. And I'm not talking about just a man that walked here, you know, 50, 60 years ago that was a prophet. I'm talking about what God has done through that message and is doing in our very day now. So the trumpet, same thing as a standard. So they lift up a standard. And so I've mentioned this before in my job, you know, when let's say Sister Vicky says, "Brother Tony, I need a cabinet built." And she says, "It needs to be 7 hands wide. Perfectly. 7 hands wide to fit in this spot." Right? And so I go build one, and I build it according to 7 hands. My hands. Do you think it's going to fit what she? Right? Do you know there was time in history where that's the way measurements were? Because whoever was king, it was his or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And it don't work. It's confusion. Right. See? But in order for it to work, she would have to take a tape measure and measure. And that tape measure would have to be calibrated or made and calibrated to a standard. And I would have a tape measure, and my tape measure was calibrated to the same standard. Right. And so when she would measure it and say, "This is what I need," then I could build it. Or whoever, I'm just using that example. Then she picked her because her hands are smaller than mine, obviously, as an example. But when they're both, when you're both speaking the same thing, when you're both measuring with the same calibrated, everything's calibrated back to that. And so we have the National Bureau of Standards. The United States is very blessed to have that National Bureau of Standards, and people around the world, you know, everything goes, and they have. They have the instruments there that when you know, you want to know what a volt is, they can tell you. They got it. Mm-hmm. And everybody's instrument out here that's anything is all calibrated back to that. So when I have instruments at work that say 1 volt, it's right because it's calibrated to that. And so everybody else's instruments is calibrated to that. So we all speak the same thing. Mm-hmm. So when I'm troubleshooting something and I'm on the phone with somebody that's made something, I'm saying, "Well, here's what I measured." And they're like, "Yeah, well, that's right, you know." So the whole concept for a standard is that this is the ultimate in that measurement of whatever it is, whether it's voltage or current, resistance, temperature, time, distance, whatever it is, pH, any of that stuff. There is a standard for that that's officially, and everything has to go back to that, or we're on different pages and nothing works. And so it's a simple concept. Simple concept. So when God said he'd lift up a standard, that's what he was doing, was getting everybody on the same page so that everybody was speaking the same thing, trying to accomplish the same thing, that everybody's in one mind, in one accord, so that God can pour out his spirit upon us and do great things among us. This is just as important in our day as it's been in any day, as it was in the day of Pentecost. So that everybody is doing the same thing. And you know, I've told you, I like to share this, and I've shared this before, but You know, remember, like, the friend that used to work with it, he was telling me about when they would build something like a dam on the river. He said they'd go off to some marker that's a federal marker that's somewhere, and they would use survey, and they would survey into the spot where they're going to build the dam. Mm-hmm. And they would survey all the way in, and they would put a local marker up on the hill or something up there. And then from that marker, they would, everything that they would build and do around that, they would reference that to that marker. And ever several times throughout the construction, they would go back to that one that was off over here that was the official marker, that's a government marker, and they would come and make sure that nothing had changed, that this one was still in reference to that one, and then everything else locally was built off of that. Mm-hmm. And that concept was that real standard that's out there is Jesus Christ. But in our local day, we had a prophet. And everything else that goes on in this age needs to go back to that. And it's okay to go back every once in a while and check and make sure he was correct with that. Mm-hmm. You follow me? And so when you do it that way, then everybody gets on the same page. And the construction project, everything fits and everything works. And it comes out to be a wonderful construction and so forth. So you see what God has done. God is, he's not asking us just to, you know, just... But he's given us in our day something we can actually rally to. And that's what we must do. And so, in the Old Testament, they raised up those standards. And those, as I said a while ago, it was they were, you know, like a banner. It had the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle on it. And it controlled how they pitched their tents. And we've talked about how that was a type of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those, that was their four symbols, and they gathered around the book of Acts, just like they pitched around. So we talked about that. But you get into the New Testament, and we realize that when those seals were opened up, and God showed what his spirit, how he combated those four horse riders, which was Antichrist. So remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise a standard. And when the enemy came in after, remember it says that when Jesus came, Judas came. And when Jesus left, Judas left. And when the Holy Ghost came, the Antichrist came. So when the Antichrist came into the New Testament church, like a flood, he's gonna wreak havoc upon the churches, then God would raise up a standard to combat that, to rally people, to make it where they could stand in that hour that Satan was coming in with his flood. And how would he do that? He'd lift up a standard. And so when that flood come through with that, the Catholic doctors and all the things, God would raise up an anointing, right? For the lion, for the ox, for the man, for the eagle. So through all the New Testament church age, as the enemy was working through Antichrist's spirit and doing all the things that we've talked about so many times, God had something that people could look to, and by rallying to that which he lifted up, then Satan would not be able to carry people away into his flood. And so that's what happened with Luther and Wesley and Pentecost. That's what happened through all the ages, that God would anoint his people to give themselves in sacrifice with the ox, anoint them to have the wisdom of a man, and in our day, anoint them to have the wings of a flying eagle. These are banners that God lifted up. These are movements of God that he lifted up and said, if you'll look to that, then Satan will not be able to take you away in his flood. Because God has lifted up a standard, right? But what if you don't look at it? What if you don't rally to it? What if you don't build your life to that rock, to that standard? What if you don't do that? Well, then, flood's going to have, he's going to wreak havoc in your life. And we see that, even in message homes. Message homes need to be tied to the word, because if it's not, havoc, it plays havoc. And so, God raised up standards, and that was the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And now here it is in our day. They didn't know that was what was going on. Luther didn't know he had a message that was, you know, was a certain thing or whatever. But now, through an end time revelation, we get to look back and we see, oh, that's what it was. God was raising a standard. And therefore we know what truth is throughout the New Testament. We know what that truth is because it's what was anointed, what he sent, what he lifted up as a banner that people rallied to. And it's just another way for us to look and see this end time revelation is right. Because it hooks through the Bible from one end to the other. And so I will say this. If each of those four standards that was lifted up, the lion, the ox, the man, and eagle, if all the people were able to rally to that and be delivered in their hour, what do you think about in this day when God lifted up a great standard and underneath that we're able to look back and see the whole revelation and understand what the whole thing is and see it lead right up to our day? Don't you think God would bring great deliverance to his people through that standard? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's what we are privileged to be part of. And so all of the denominations out there in the world, when that ministry come on the scene in our day, and out of their own words they testify of the supernatural that was there, all of the denominations should have rallied to this word. But they didn't. And that's why he had to preach, I indict this generation. Right? But you just remember, if you believe this word, if you accept it, then there's a pardon for you. Amen? And if you'll stay with the Lord, stay with his word, God will perfect you. Like I said at the beginning, he will get you through. But you got to stay with him. He's never failed, right? And so there's all kinds of things. I've been thinking about things in my own life. And there are things, you know, that I'm like, why this way? Why do I have to struggle with this? Why, you know, why couldn't it be some other way? But as I was explaining to someone today, I said, you know, whatever the Lord chooses to be what he works on me with, then that's what we want, you know. Whatever he chooses to mold me and make me and have pressure to change me so that I can become what he wants me to be, then that's what we want. And so I'm willing, you know, have said, okay, I see that. I see why certain things are, because that's the hand of God molding me and making me. Because if I had my way, remember the clay, he has his own idea, but it's got to be changed. Mm-hmm. I have my way and some things would be different. But you see, God says, no, but that will not change you. That will not make you in what I need you to be. And so he has to apply pressure. And so we have trials and things like that. But during all those things, if we just stay with him, he'll get you out on top. No question about it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray just for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us tonight. We thank you for the clarity of your word, what you've done in this day. Lord, we just pray that we become great recipients of it, Lord, that it finds place in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes. Lord, that even the words that come across our lips, we'd be able to impart those things to others. That they, as the scripture says, you know, that we would be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us, Lord. And I pray, God, that that's what we do. We need more of that in this day, Lord, because this world is reeling and they're like a drunk man staggering, and they need to see something real. So, Lord, we just ask that you would just instill these truths down in us and help us to walk with you and not worry about the rest of the world. Just walk with you. And Lord, we know that as we do that, we'll be a blessing to those around us. We thank you for this opportunity tonight. Just ask that this word would just be sealed away in the hearts of your people. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Not lengthy. Hopefully with a little bit of substance there. We'll sing a little bit of a song here and let you go. Can't you see why I'm happy? No matter what page it is.
Can't you see?